Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 41 of the Juvo Hub podcast. We are looking forward to an amazing show with an industry expert and an amazing friend of mine, Brent Williams from Multifamily Insiders. We're going to talk today specifically about collaborative environments. And we all know, like, he is the guru of building a platform for collaborative discussions, blogs, comments, and so on. So we're looking forward to his feedback on how that's benefited the industry. And more specifically, for those that are looking to try and build a better collaborative environment within their own organization, what are some things to think about, the benefits and some potential best practices? But before we introduce Brent, Mark and I have our tips for the day. So Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, what do you have for us?
Yes, thank you. It's funny, I wasn't 100% sure where our topic was actually going today. So this fits beautifully. It's a quote by Steve Jobs, and it says that great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people. And I love that, and I love what we're about to talk about with Brent, and because I think that I've always taught this and I've always said this in our industry, but probably in business in general, that you know what? You are not the only person that makes things happen in your organization. You may think that it is you that, you know, has to control everything or oversee everything, but it is a team that is helping you either deliver that message or come up with the answers. And I think sometimes we all tend to forget that. You know, we forget that as a team, we are so much stronger. And I like this little class I have. It's called The Power of Team, but it's finding the superpower within each of your employees. But it takes a very special person to do that, you know, to really see outside of themselves and say, you know what, as a team, we are so much more powerful. So I can't wait for us to get into this conversation.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Mark. Sounds like an awesome class, The Power of Team. Check it out on howcreativeconcepts.com. So thank you for sharing that. So my tip today is on the overall learning and development environment that we are always trying to maintain and improve upon. If you don't already have a facilitator as part of either an extension of your learning and development person or as a role even on its own, it's something to consider, especially since we have team members that are spread, you know, all over our portfolio. It's really important to have someone who's involved in their learning path. Facilitator can help guide students and can hear the questions and get feedback. It's much better than just providing a learning plan, giving someone their username and password and saying, have a nice day. A facilitator, if it's involved, now you have an opportunity to create a much more of a hybrid environment where a student is taking asynchronous training, but now you're also providing that option for, okay, we're going to now discuss this. And you have that facilitator who's driving that auxiliary education that supports whatever course content that someone has just taken. So it's something to think about. There's nothing wrong with just having asynchronous training. However, there are a ton of benefits when you start involving a facilitator in the process in order to reinforce whatever education you're providing for your team. So something to think about. So without further ado, let's get into our show. Brent Williams from MultifamilyInsiders.com. My dear friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here. I love what you talked about, facilitator training. You know, something we kind of implemented not too long ago on that front is a facilitator resource where, you know, a lot of stuff we do is across the entire industry, and all of these different companies and individuals have their own challenges. And so to try to then personalize it to that person to deal with their individual struggles is huge. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I love that.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'd love to hear more about that. I know you've had Multifamily Insiders. You have to remind me. I know it's been at least 10 or more years now, because I think that's how I connected with you back in the days when you first started that site. Give us a snapshot on what it was like to get that started and the evolution and where it's at today.
Sure. Yeah. So I am apparently different from a lot of people, where a lot of people say they kind of fell into multifamily, and I actually, you know, proactively jumped into it head first. I was in finance before, and I, you know, apartment hopped, and I just, you know, finding the next concession. And I always came back to the idea that if I just knew, if I was friends with one person at my community, I would not be doing that. I would stick around. And I thought from a financial perspective, there's huge benefits there. So I started first in the industry as doing an event planning company. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting in its own ways. And then we switched it to a social network specifically for apartment communities. And it was a little too ahead of its time, I think. This is back when MySpace was still the big thing. So we were called MySpace for multifamily, which is a double-edged sword, because MySpace didn't have the best reputation at that point.
Yeah.
But it kind of dates us where, you know, what we were trying to accomplish and when. But the challenge was that a lot of C-suite individuals had no idea what social networking was. Mm-hmm. And how could it possibly help their communities to implement some sort of social network? And they just didn't get it. So we kind of transitioned then to, well, let's do a social network for the industry. And it would also have a dual purpose, help, you know, inform the industry what social networking was. And then also at the time, if you wanted to educate yourself on multifamily, on how to best run communities, there was really no place online that you could do that, at least collaboratively. There was like one little forum on Grace Hill. I remember that years ago. But beyond that, there was just really nothing. So we launched it as a way for people to share, you know, how do you run communities the best? What are trends that are happening? You know, what should I be looking out for, and how can I implement those? And for me, as being somewhat new to the industry at that point, even though I had some, you know, done some things into it, I didn't have decades of experience. And so I wanted for myself to understand better how to run communities. And so we launched it in 2008. So it's been quite a long time now. And yeah, you and I connected not much long after that, I'm sure. It's been a long time since we've known each other.
Yeah. That is very, very cool. What a great story. Mark, do you have a thought? I'm sorry, I didn't know if I cut you off or not.
No, I you know, it's funny listening to you talk the experience in the industry, the MySpace for property management. I remember all of that. I love how we've evolved, how things started, and where what they've turned into today. So no, I am very excited to hear more, to get inside your head. I know you two have been partners in crime, if we want to call that in this industry, with, you know, facilitating amazing conversations. So I'm excited to hear more. Please continue.
Well, that's kind of where, yeah, to your point, Brent, like that's where we met, and I fell into social media, and then you had this Multifamily Insiders where everybody could chat and talk and discuss and get feedback and have forums, you know, and it's been, you know, MySpace came and went. There's been a lot of social platforms that have kind of come and gone. Multifamily Insiders is still like a pillar in our industry. Mm-hmm. So what have you seen over the years? Like what's some feedback you've heard, or what have you seen personally, or have been the benefits of having this platform for our industry?
I mean, I hope we bring a lot to the table at the end of the day. Having a place for people to collaborate. I remember when I got in the industry, the mantra, not the mantra, but just the way of doing things in multifamily was we were very slow to move. You know, it's like glacial speed that the industry evolves. And over the last 10 years, you know, we're not necessarily still the fastest, but we're definitely so much farther ahead now than we used to be. And I hope that, my community and other communities have kind of helped spur that on. You know, the more you get people in the same area talking about what they're trying now, what they tried, what didn't work, what did work, you know, you facilitate that interaction on much bigger scale. We still work with all the local associations, and we are very big supporters of them, but you still have regional little groups. And so we were able to bring it from an industry-wide perspective to see what are all the different things that companies are doing, you know, on the opposite coast that we didn't even consider doing beforehand. So just having that melting pot of ideas, I've really enjoyed being a part of that, just also as a user, right? So I help try to facilitate the conversations, but then I'm also then getting new ideas myself. So it's been a joy. And it's interesting to see you're talking about how things kind of go in and out of style. Like when we started, you know, way back in the day, Twitter was the place, yeah. Right? We had so many great conversations on Twitter. I really enjoyed that, where it wasn't a ton of people, but we had really meaningful discussions on different approaches to property management. And those were awesome times.
Yeah.
I love that your group, it's so massive. It's like you said, it's a national, you know, voice sort of platform for people to come and share ideas. And what I do find very interesting about this industry is back in my early days, and I've been in it for 20 something years, we didn't want to share information. You know, it was like, oh, we don't give our secrets away. My gosh, that's terrible. It's proprietary, you know, and we'd love to say that. And it's like, come on, guys, we're not really recreating the wheel here, but it's funny because we still don't tell the truth with our market surveys. We like to lie to our comps about that data. But what I find so fascinating is that I feel like we're embracing this world of why can't we come into it's called the shared pool of ideas, where if there is a shared pool of ideas on the table, I might gain something from more of you that I did not know. If I leave myself open to say, I may not have all the answers. Somebody else may have a better way, a more efficient way, or a different way. And I love the concept of that, because our industry has been notoriously known to sort of cover up our secrets, our secret sauce. So I think it's great when you can get a lot of very intelligent people in our industry to share their ideas in a national platform, and people, then we can all become more successful. So kudos to such a long running, great, successful way of bringing a shared pool of ideas to make us all smarter. Appreciate that.
You have no idea how many times I've had that conversation with people, and they're hesitant. And my thought was always, by the time you share something and somebody else sees that idea and they get around to kind of working through the committee, you know, on what they want to implement and that sort of thing, you're already, you know, 3 or 5 ideas down the road. Right? And so it's, you know, it's a matter of, you know, understanding that if everybody shares a bit of what they're doing, then we all grow. You know, it's a collaborative issue, you know, where it's like, if everybody holds the cards to their chest, then nobody, you know, gains anything of value. And in the long run, the people, I would say without fail, when I talk to people who have taken the time to talk about what they're doing and share their knowledge, they get much more out of it in return than they ever gave away. Because even then, you might have proprietary stuff that on the leading edge of what you've done, but even stuff you did last year, you know, could help somebody else out who's, you know, well beyond, you know, well behind you, and you're still giving away value, but then you're still, you know, keeping a few things to yourself. So there's ways to both be proactive in how much you're sharing and still not feel like you're giving away the farm.
That's true. And, you know, it's funny, I was having a conversation with a dear friend who is a president of a property management company here in Atlanta. And we were talking about some training initiatives. And I said something like, well, you know, this might fall into the hands of some of your competitors. And she kind of stood there for a second and laughed and said, you know what, it's okay, because though they may have the idea, they'll never do it the way we do it. The execution will always be different. And I stood there and I thought, that is really great, confident, and what a great way of looking at it, that if you know that you lead an incredible team of innovation and just remarkable change or advancement of that the idea of being unique and different, then you're not worried about someone taking that idea and doing it because they'll never do it the way that you do it. So I loved it.
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And you know, something you said earlier, Brent, about just the rigid fear factor when it came to social media back in the day and where we are at today, because I remember Mark Julien as an example when it came to social media, and he was one of the ones that was like, I'm going to ask people on Facebook where we're messing up, you know, where are we going wrong? And, you know, to pioneer something along that line, which is like, oh, are you kidding? You are absolutely out of your mind. Why in the world would you ask your residents what they want? You know, it's just was so foreign. And there was that same when Multifamily Insiders started, to me, it was like, yeah, it was okay. Are we allowed to talk? And should I be incognito? Do I need to be undercover with my questions? And that has that went away. And now, like even with your Facebook group, how many people are participate in that group that you have for Multifamily Insiders right now?
Yeah, we have over 20,000, not exactly the
20,000. I mean, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. So to see our industry go from zero to something along with those numbers is awesome. And yeah, it just makes me so happy just to see how people can continue to help and feed and educate each other, you know, with a platform like what you've put together. So to kind of like change directions just a little bit, what kind of feedback have you heard from people, and or like, do you feel that property management companies, they look at Multifamily Insiders, they look at your Facebook group, is that just too daunting for a property management company to think that they could have some sort of a social environment for themselves? What, any thoughts or comments on that concept?
By implementing collaborative environments within their own company, right?
Yes.
I think that frankly, there are tools out there to make it happen as far as from a technology perspective. And I think that the benefits can be absolutely huge for companies to leverage what they already have. I hear a lot of stories about how, you know, the stories will be coming like, we'll talk to a training director and their challenge is that they have, you know, Jane over at, you know, Community A, and she's doing these amazing things. Well, how do you take that knowledge and then share that knowledge across the entire portfolio? And a lot of training is very top down in the sense that, okay, we are defining what we need as an organization. We're going to create those, you know, that training information and that sort of thing. And what a lot of companies haven't quite got their arms around is, how do we do the cross training? You know, how do we take somebody who is not a trainer, but they do something really interesting and innovative. And maybe it's just that one thing, you know, it's like, they're not a trainer for all things, but they're just going to take that one nugget of knowledge, right? And then pass that information along to other people. And then maybe even build upon it. You know, Jane did something really interesting, but now you pull that one idea into a brainstorming pot. And now you have spin-off ideas on different approaches to take. And because I'm sure that first idea was not the perfect incarnation of whatever it is, right? Once you get all these different people to join in and to kind of build upon what's already been done, then you can have really interesting solutions and ideas and trends and within your own company. I remember back when we started Multifamily Insiders, and there was a lot of, we'll call it concern from certain people about how it was an open platform that anybody could blog. And there was quite a few people who wanted us to shut it down and say, you only people who were vetted could blog and share their ideas. And my thought on that was always, if you take even the most green leasing consultant, yes, you know, for a lot of things, a lot of these ideas they have, they may not be fully fleshed out because they don't have the expertise of 20 years in the industry. However, they have something that's also valuable in a different perspective, and they've not been kind of indoctrinated into the industry and how things are, should be done. Right. So they look at things from a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so you are going to get moments of brilliance from every single person, no matter how green they are. And so by having ways to kind of collect those moments of brilliance and those different perspectives is really important. I think a lot of companies miss out on that. They want to get that leasing consultant in doing it their way, the way that they're, you know, that their process, and which is good. I think processes are absolutely essential, but then sometimes you lose these other ideas along the process, along the way, if that makes any sense.
And I want to piggyback off that and say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think even the research today shows that the younger generation, they're going to demand that type of work environment, right? They have a voice. They want to be heard. Whether they're new to your organization, new to the industry, they do come to the table with a skill set that maybe we don't know yet. It hasn't been defined, right? And so if we're unwilling to let them have a voice at the table, then we are sort of cutting off our nose to spider face, right? And so, but what I found fascinating is the younger generation, they're going to determine whether or not they want to even accept a job in your organization based on whether or not you allow that type of sort of open communication dialogue, because they may not want to stay with your organization very long if they find out that you don't want to hear from them. Is that true? That's the research that I have seen, which fascinates me.
I haven't seen the research, but it falls in line with what I've seen. Yeah. I think absolutely. I mean, I think in general, it's human nature not just to follow direction. You know, people want to feel like they have some sort of control or input, and they want to have a role to play in the success of their organization. Yeah. So I think that just goes hand in hand with that. I mean, I think that people want to be a part of things and not just be told what to do. Or so I think absolutely giving them that, empowering them in that way is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we had a guest just a couple of weeks ago, Mark, that it was interesting, his comment, and it relates to what both of you just said. It's like this last year, we've had to do everything virtual. Like everything has had to have been virtual in most instances. And so because of the pandemic, it's forced property management companies to have more meetings, more Zoom sessions where you're collaborating. And the feedback that came from that guest was like, their employees didn't want that to go away. Like right. They want to keep it going. They want that environment where they get to see their team members on a more regular basis and talk and have that conversation about what's going on. So I think it's exciting to think of where some of the lessons that have come even in this last year, and then looking at your platform, Brent, as an example, like where that potential is yet for organizations to be able to embrace and learn and be able to, you know, solidify that company culture that everyone is like, oh, it's like that magic thing we're trying to have. And how do we get people who are spread all over a portfolio to be able to do that? So it's awesome to see technology and innovation kind of like, you know, coming together.
One quick note on that.
Don, yeah, go ahead, Brad.
I've you know, you hear like, you know, Zoom fatigue. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is it's not Zoom fatigue. It's boring Zoom fatigue.
Exactly.
People really enjoy still having that environment if it's interesting, if they feel like it's not a waste of their time, because people, especially now, communities are short-staffed. You know, they have a lot on their plate. And if it's just wasting their time, if it's not adding value to their lives, then they're like, why am I here? But if it is adding value, then it's really convenient and they still enjoy it. So I think people have got it wrong with their thoughts on virtual, you know, collaboration, that it's definitely a positive, but just people have to up their game on how they do it to be in a really compelling, interesting, and engaging way.
It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Remember that. That's one of the many takeaways. Stop making Zoom meetings so boring.
Absolutely.
Bring some intrigue to them. Yeah. So, you know, with your platform, and I think there's so many resources that are out there. Like, have you had feedback like along that line? Like you mentioned from maybe on a personal level, anything that you can share, like where going to Multifamily Insiders or other outside resources, like why in general is that just a good best practice to find out like what's happening and what people are using and what's available? Like what would be a summary from your perspective, Brent, on why you just should be doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to, you know, whether companies are kind of looking just into their interior on their processes, you know, like I said, I think I'm a big fan of processes. I think that best companies have the best processes on how to be efficient and get the most out of their time. But I think there's a risk that some companies fall into in that when you're a really strong company, you tend to think that you have all the answers and you stop looking elsewhere and going, wow, there's some really other interesting, I mean, we have some brilliant people in our industry and they don't all work for the same company. You know, they're all scattered across. So, you know, being able to find these other people and find these other discussions is always going to be a net benefit. I think, frankly, you know, there's a risk of having too many ideas that you can implement. You know, you have like, I want to do all these things and you try to do too much. And I think that can cause problems, but I'd rather have that problem than missing out on what might be really amazing for your particular company. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think, you know, finding the top people in the industry or even just different ideas that you've never considered before can never be seen as a bad thing. Even if, you know, the company that somebody's with is already strong, you know, it doesn't matter how strong they are because they're not going to be strong in every single facet of what they're doing. There's always elements that they can improve. And then they take those ideas and then they merge them with their processes, merge them with the way they do things. So they kind of have the best of both worlds. They have their own ways of doing things combined with these really interesting nuggets of wisdom from elsewhere.
I would love to ask you with your experience with some of the members that you have and sharing ideas. If I were working in an organization where I wanted there to be a better sense of togetherness, community, you know, internally, and wanted to open up that sort of forum of candor, what would you give me? What advice could you give someone listening to say, like, this is where you could start? Say that we've been in an organization that has been closed off to it, you know, all the secrets are locked away in the closet, the key has been buried in the backyard. So where do we begin? What kind of advice have others been talking about? Because I do know that our industry has been changing. People are more willing to share this kind of stuff. So how are they? How are they doing that internally? Any ideas that they've shared with you?
Well, if you're talking about like internal collaboration, right? I think when you want to kind of expand that scope, I think the first thing is the start. You know, if let's say that you have some new process or way of sharing ideas. If people don't do it right off the bat, then it's quickly going to never get done because people lose faith that it's going to be actually a valuable resource. Mm-hmm. So I remember when we first started, my goal was that no question would be unanswered. So In our forum area, people ask a question. If I may not know the answer, but I would actually go out and email other people I knew, like, hey, can you help out with this? Is this in your wheelhouse?
Yep.
And I manually made that process for every single question. And at some point, then you kind of establish a culture of interacting and people know, you know, that it's they're going to get something out of it. So that's going to be worth their time. And so then it kind of became a self-feeding situation. But until then, it was a lot of handholding and a lot of nurturing myself. So I think that anytime a company wants to do that, they need to have a team of nurturers who can either they can get the conversations going, but also make sure that they are pulling in other people constantly. Because the moment that they ask so-and-so to share their thoughts and they do, then that person is more likely to answer the next time because they've already been through the process. They know what it's like and it's okay. So it's a matter of just being very, very proactive at the very beginning to establish that culture in what they're doing. And then after a while, at some point, you can kind of let it go and the community will run on its own.
Love that. That's great advice.
That is absolutely golden advice. Too often it's like, I started the community. Okay, my job is done. And they kind of like walk away and then it's crickets.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen it. Brent, I love it. Thank you so much for saying that. That is fantastic. Yeah, you have to have those nurturers to get that community foundation built. And then even after time, you still may need to nudge it and to kind of keep that energy going and keep people involved and get new people involved too. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. The people who were really active on MFI in our early days, I mean, some are still active, and then there's also totally different people now who are active now. I mean, it's a cycle where people get active and they kind of, their life gets busy, and then they kind of, you know, do their own thing for a while and they come back and they get really active again. So it's just a constantly wave of new people and the people coming in and out.
Yeah. Amazing. And I think it lends itself to, both of you kind of touched on, you know, sometimes we people, even in a big company, because they don't get to meet anyone, they don't know anybody. So it's like they know people on site. And then you have this huge leadership conference and everybody's off in their own little corner because, that's from my property. That's all I know. I think these types of things will generate and foster that environment of togetherness, getting people together, collaborating, and getting to know each other at the very least, you know, just being able to get to know who else works for your company. What a huge benefit that will be. Do you agree, Brent?
Absolutely. It's funny, like thinking back on my time on site, whenever we go to a regional type of event and hold on one second. Okay. So, we would go to these events and each table would be its own community. We had our own little silos, right? And you talk to your property manager, assistant property manager, fellow leasing consultants, but you didn't talk to anybody else because who are these people? You never see them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they technically work for the same company and maybe you did some training with them, you know? So I think that finding ways to break down those silos and kind of have people merge with the rest of the group is really valuable, but it's hard to do because people get so comfortable, which is funny because our industry is pretty social, right? And yet we still get in these modes where we're like, I'm going to be with my little people, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think every company needs to be proactive in how they say, okay, no clicks. We're going to mix everybody up. And then after a couple of times of doing that, then people get a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
Good advice.
I love it. I love it.
It is funny that you say that. Like our industry is, we are such social people, but as soon as we go to some type of company event, and that's exactly what it's like, a boy girl or the old school day dances, all the boys on one side, all the girls on another. It's like, come on guys, somebody just right? Take that first step to, you know, go ask somebody to dance.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation. This is for this topic, I think I'm confident. I know our audience is going to resonate with them from that perspective. Just keep, and especially for those who are maybe just starting their community for their company, they're trying to build that, you know, understand that it's going to take some time. You got to nurture it just like you did with MFI and even with the Facebook group. It takes some time and it takes some work and, you know, some elbow grease, so to speak, in order to kind of get that community up and thriving. But once it's going, then yeah, there's just so many benefits to a collaborative environment. And the technology is there. It's so much easier to build those environments these days than even just a few years ago. So we appreciate, Brent, you taking the time and sharing with us your insights from being, you know, a guru in that space for our industry for such a long time. So before I let you go, anything like kind of to kind of close the show out, go-to tip, piece of advice, anything along that line that you feel has served you well or you think will help our listeners today?
You know, I don't know if I have anything specific. I always go with the approach of try to be as helpful as I can in every moment, you know, and it kind of goes along with what we do at MFI in general. It's like, how can we help share knowledge? How can we help give, you know, these, you know, foster this conversation and be, you know, kind of a culture of service. You know, I remember when we were young and, you know, nobody knew what the brand Multifamily Insiders was. And so, but people knew what Multifamily Pro was with Tammy Surik, right?
Yeah.
So I would get calls on a semi-frequent basis asking, okay, well, how do I sign up for brainstorming? And I'm like, well, that's not my thing, but, and so I would get on their site and I would look up what the next dates were or whatever and their contact number. And I was like their little outsourced customer service person, even though it was not my thing at all. But I mean, it's not like that helped me in any way, but I just, you know, it's something that you do, if you do that consistently, then good things happen. You know, and MFI is just a community of people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, we hopefully put out enough good things and hopefully people come back with good things and it all works out.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. Great advice. And we appreciate you taking the lead with Multifamily Insiders. And for our listeners, make sure if you're not part of the Facebook group, just look it up on Facebook. It's another vibrant, thriving community, lots of insight, lots of ideas in conjunction with what multifamilyinsiders.com already brings to the table. So thank you again, Brent. Any other ways outside of the, obviously, you know, the group and the website that people can connect with you on, Brent?
Yeah. So if they want to go to the website, multifamilyinsiders.com, we have, you know, blogs and discussion groups there. Like you're talking about Facebook, that is actually called Multifamily ShareSpace. ShareSpace is just one word. And so feel free to get there. We're actually ramping up our Multifamily Insiders LinkedIn group. So back in 2008, that's how we started, was a LinkedIn group. And so that group has, I think, around 35,000 people on it. But LinkedIn didn't do a good job with kind of nurturing their own groups. And so it made it hard. So they've slowly made some changes enough that we think that's going to be a really interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
And those conversations are going to be fundamentally different because there's different demographics. So if you go on the, you know, you're going to hear more C-suite type of discussions on that group. So depending on like what people are looking for, they can find different types of discussions that fit where they are in their career.
I love it. That's awesome. That's good to know. And of course, you have webinar Wednesdays, right? That's still a big staple of education. Absolutely. For you, right?
Yeah, we've grown every year. I mean, it's absolutely huge now. So we just bring in we do kind of the same concept. We, you know, I'm not the expert. I in the past, I have spoken on topics, but really it's who can we find that are going to be these legends in the industry or maybe in different areas of the country that they are huge in their area, but nobody else knows about them. We find these people all the time and just, they're brilliant. And so we bring them to the Webinar Wednesday series. And so people can sign up for the entire series we have a lot of companies who sign up all of their properties for the entire series as a training solution. So if you go to multifamilyinsiders.com/webinars, you can check that out too.
That's awesome. Yeah. Another great resource. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate you being on the show, my friend. We'll Absolutely. Definitely get all those things in the show notes as well. So people can find that LinkedIn group, the Facebook group and website and so on. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Mark,
I really enjoyed being a part of this. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Mark, how can people connect with you? How Creative Concepts?
You know what? After having a celebrity like this on the show, does anybody even want my contact information? It's like asking for the signature, or I'm sorry, the, yeah, a person on the set to sign something when you have the star in front of you. But look, I am Mark Howell, howellcreativeconcepts.com. Howell is spelled H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon. You can email me at mark@howellcreativeconcepts.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. But Brett, thank you. This has been a really great conversation. I look forward to all of the things that you guys do and that you do over there. So thank you for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you again. This is Jonathan Saar from Juvo Hub. We thank you so much for participating, being here. Make sure you connect with us on YouTube or any of your favorite podcast stations. And thank you in advance for your reviews and comments and feedback. It's a pleasure for us to be able to bring this education to our industry. We'll see you next time on our show. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.